Welcome to another episode of Beer Books with me, Daisy Ray.
And me, April Berry.
This is our last episode of Season 7. We will miss you so much.
What do you mean it's our last episode?
It's our last episode of Season 7. We've got some specials coming up.
And did I not ask you to do another episode?
Of what?
Well, I just thought we could just stick another episode on the end.
Just like make it work for yourself. What would we put in it?
I don't know. I'm sure we could have dragged some random author in off the street.
What, literally?
Yeah, that'd have been
fun. Open your front door and just stand there shouting, any old authors, bring your authors over here.
I think it'd have been a good idea, that. It's just so we don't have to stop. So I get really sad when it's the last episode.
Yeah, but it's not like we've got nothing happening over the summer, is it? We've got specials coming up.
Yeah, we've got a busy summer coming up, haven't we?
Yeah. We're off to Copper Cogs next week.
And then we've got Queer the Shelves, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, that's at the end of June. So there's going to be a 6-season special just for Queer the Shelves.
And I suppose we have had lots of submissions for Season 8 already anyway, haven't we?
I know, we've got lots of reading to do over the summer.
We do. Speaking of reading, is it about time you read a story?
Okay, let's get that done then. So the two stories we've got for you today are the one that I will be narrating, which was written by Carolyn Ward Daniels, and it's called I Don't Want to Behave.
And then we've got one that was submitted by
Bob Sharp.
You've got a really good memory, haven't you? I've lost my prompt card. I will tell you one thing. I had a friend round a couple of days after I actually recorded it for the podcast, and I played it to them, the story, and they were killing themselves laughing. They thought it was brilliant. And I must admit, I've got no idea how when I was reading it, I didn't laugh.
I thought it made me laugh out loud. I was on mute while you were recording that one, for sure.
I know. Anyway, let's listen to what Carolyn has given us for this week.
For this prompt, even.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Hey, for this prompt, even.
I Don't Want to Behave by Carolyn Ward Daniels. I find a scab on my knee and pick at it. My mum sees me. Leave it or it won't heal. I can't help it. It hurts. But I can't leave it alone. And anyway, I'm still mad at her for telling me off for drinking out of the milk carton and spilling it. I feel wet on my fingertips. I know I've made it worse. She tells me to stop again and I want to, but I want to defy her. My little brother Ollie is crying and covered in spots and pink cream. Baby Tilly is crying, and I felt like crying as Mum had screamed at me for the 40 millionth time, and I'm only 7. Now she was nearly crying talking to Grandma on the phone. She's talking about me. It just won't do as he's told. He's been so naughty this morning. I've got enough on with Tilly teething, Ollie with chicken pox. I won't cope if Danny catches it. I thought I wouldn't mind catching the chicken pox in school time. Then I could be off sick. Trust him to get it in the holidays. Mum seemed happier when she came off the phone and told me Grandma was coming to pick me up and me and her were going to stay with great-granddad in the country. I don't want to go. I don't know him. You're going. I've packed some clothes. Go and pick a toy to take. My bike. Your bike won't fit in Grandma's car. Just take a book. I'm not going. I crossed my arms on the table and rested my face on them. I was good at this. I could stay like this for ages until I got cake or ice cream. Grandma came in. What's up with him? He says he's not going. Well, that's a shame. Dad's just finished making a lovely rocking horse. This sounded good, but I couldn't give up yet. Mum said, who for? He doesn't like children. He doesn't like naughty children. I didn't think he made things anymore. He doesn't. He really misses making props for the ghost train. But after he drilled into his hand and had a near miss with the saw, he realised he couldn't do it anymore. He said, I don't want to start cutting my own body up as well. Wow, I really wanted to ask questions, and I heard Mum say, are you sure he'll cope having Danny? He's so naughty. Oh, he'll cope all right. He kept us in line and there were 8 of us. Tell me about this rocking horse. It's a beauty, like one of the cranky horses on the carousels, and it's big. It fills the space in his old workshop. I couldn't wait any longer. Can I go on the rocking horse? You said you weren't going. No, I do want to. Well, you'll have to do as you're told. Grandad doesn't like naughty children. I went and got my coat. I'm ready. Let's go. Mum and Grandma smiled at each other and Grandma got up. Come on then, let's go see Grumpy Grandad. I can't remember Grandad. I was only just walking last time I came and apparently I got told off for something. The house is sat in a big garden of long grass with big hedges all around. Everything looked like it needed cutting. The front door was a dirty brown and the inside matched it. It had a bit of a smell and Grandma said she was going to give the place a good clean while she was here. Grandad appeared and he was wearing brown. If it wasn't for his white shirt, hair and whiskers, I'd have lost him. Grandma started cleaning the kitchen straight away and warned me to behave. Can I see the rocking horse, Grandad? That depends on how good you are. I've heard you won't do as you're told. I'll be good, I promise. We'll see. Come on, I'll show you your room. Everything looked worn out and old. He showed me all the rooms, but I didn't see the rocking horse. But Grandma had said it was in his workshop. There was a door in the hallway he ignored. What's in there, Grandad? That's the cellar. You do not go down there. Please, can I see? Please? He grunted, but opened the door and switched on a dim light, saying, You don't go. I clattered down the steps before it could stop me. It was a dirty, smelly room. It had a rolled-up rug, some shelves with filthy jars, and one ice skate dangled from a nail. There was no rocking horse. But in the middle of one wall, there was a small door. It was just my size, or goblin size. It was made of planks of wood, and it was round at the top and had a round knob. Grandad boomed. Get up here now. What's through this little door? Do not open that door. Now get back here. He wasn't very happy when I got back up. You do not go down there. Why does everybody shout at me? I can't stop thinking about that goblin door. I bet it leads to the workshop where the rocking horse is. After dinner, Grandma went to make up the beds and I had to go and do the washing up. Grandad was asleep in his brown chair. I hate washing up, so I left it and crept to check on Grandad. He was asleep with a strange smile on his face. I found the light switch okay and quietly go down the cellar steps. My heart is thumping and I have my hand on the doorknob of the goblin door. I open the forbidden door. A heap of skulls and bones make me scream and scream, and I'm tripping on the steps and screaming. Grandad is there with his hands on his hips. He looks scary too. Now will you do as you're told? How fast would you change your behaviour if you visited your grandparents and found a pile of bones in the cellar?
Rapidly, I think, if I'm honest. I have got to say, though, this did invoke a lot of memories for me, for childhood memories.
You mean trauma or memories?
No, memories, not trauma. I can remember when I was dragged to visit relations, a little bit like in the story, and I didn't want to go, and I had to spend Saturday afternoons looking prim and proper, sat at my granddad's or some auntie's that was like ancient and decrepit. So well done to Carolyn for that, for stirring some childhood trauma, I mean memories.
I like Carolyn's style of writing and that I really felt for that poor mother.
Yes, me too.
Three kids to cope with and chicken pox and teething, and then you've got little boy who causing bloody trouble because he's just playing up because of the hell of it.
It made me laugh. I want to catch chicken pox, then I could be off sick.
Yeah, shame it's the school holidays.
Yeah, shame it's the school holidays, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for sending that one in. But next, we have The Quest, written by Bob Sharp, and April is narrating it for us.
20 years. That's how long Prince Rupert the Simple's quest had taken. And now here he was, looking every inch the hero, about to save his first damsel in distress and, given the trials of the last 2 decades, live happily ever after. An ending he felt he deserved. He stood in a clearing, his torso naked and his oiled muscles glistening. Over one shoulder was slung a massive sword, and over the other was a small satchel that contained one item that had been a constant throughout his entire quest. He was bloody freezing and wondered whether he should have considered more a suitable apparel, but he reckoned that at the end of a 20-year quest, he ought to look the part. So despite the blizzard and the freezing temperatures, here he stood, half naked, with nipples that could cut glass, staring at the little cottage. The cottage that represented the culmination of his years of toil, for it was here that he was sure he would find the match to the item he had in his satchel and finally rescue the damsel, the fair lady who had consumed his thoughts throughout his long, arduous and dangerous quest. He'd fought dragons and bears, he'd duelled with knights beyond counting, he'd traversed mountain passes and crossed vast stormy oceans alive with monsters of the deep. But now all he had to do was cross a threshold. He took a deep breath and, keeping as heroic a posture as possible, he entered the cottage. She wasn't in. The house was deserted, which was something of an anticlimax. Then there was the smell. The horrific stench reminded him of when he was imprisoned in a far-off land, in a small cell with 20 other men and no latrine. He opened a door and took a tentative step down into a damp cellar. The light from a window high up in the wall illuminated a little room. It was a cluttered space with a rolled-up carpet against one wall and a tiny door on the other wall. But he didn't notice any of this. He was staring at the single skate that hung on the wall. He took the skate from his satchel and with shaking hands he compared them. It was a match. The quest was truly over. It was the skate that the damsel had left behind the night he'd witnessed her being abducted those 20 long years ago. But where was she? He decided to go back upstairs and wait. At a loose end, he found himself thinking about his quest and how different his life was going to be when he finally rescued the woman of his dreams and she became his princess. He smiled as he imagined himself on bended knees slipping the skate onto the stocking foot of his fair maiden. It wasn't long before a cacophony of shouts and cries interrupted his thoughts. "Come on, you lot, keep up, I ain't got all day. You lot have been murdered since that no good piece of shit that was your father walked out." A voice, if it was her, managed the twin fates of being coarse and piercing at the same time. It was certainly less cultured than he'd imagined. He stood up and tried to look his heroic best for the arrival of his true love. The door burst open and a horrifically haggard-looking woman, surrounded by a horde of unkempt children, stormed into view. She wasn't quite the beauty he'd been expecting, but the face was familiar. It was indeed the girl from 20 years ago on that frozen night by the village pond, a pond that lay less than a mile from this very cottage. And yet his quest had spanned the globe and taken 20 years. With increasing hindsight, he found himself wondering if all that questing had been entirely necessary. She didn't notice him at first, being too busy corralling her brood. "And you, whatever your name is, stop that wailing or I'll get you something to wail about." As she turned, her gaze finally caught Rupert's, who was by now displaying a serious lack of heroic posture. "Who the hell are you? If it's money you're after, I ain't got any," she snapped, eyeing him wearily. Money? No, I am not seeking treasure," said Prince Rupert. Said the woman with a look that left the prince in no doubt that he'd been well and truly appraised. Then she looked down and slapped a nose-picking child on the back of the head, an action that drove the finger deep into the grimy child's skull. "You there, thingamajig, go see if he's got any cash on him." Then she turned her attention back to the prince. "If it's personal services you're after, you'll need to wait. Go downstairs and roll out the carpet. You'll find the whips and handcuffs behind the little door. There's some magazines to help get you in the mood too. "I think there may be some mistake," he said as he swatted the approaching child. He started wading through the swarm of children, heading to the front door. "I think I have the wrong address, so sorry to take up your valuable time." "Mind yourself," said the damsel. "Some of the little blighters have rabies. You got any food?" "No, sorry," said Prince Rupert over his shoulder, his voice trailing off as he beat a hasty retreat as his heroic legs could muster. He stopped only once to throw the skate as far as he could into the depths of a fast-flowing river. He watched as it sunk into the murky water and thought to himself, "That's 20 years of my life I'm not getting back." Moral of the story, your heroes should never meet you.
That is absolutely brilliant. Talk about laugh out loud. It's a good job I was on mute while you were reading it because it was hilarious.
I have no idea how I got through it without actually laughing myself, if I'm honest.
It was roll out the carpet at the bottom of the stairs and there's some magazines behind the little door. I'm like, oh my God. Why would you?
I know.
Oh, that's made my day. That was brilliant. Well written, Bob.
I do like that, Bob. That was really good. It's funny, actually, because I could see, as I was reading it out, I could see the little room in the picture and the little prince rolling out the carpet.
Like he was going to do that. Ew.
The bit that I liked was with the nose picking.
It was a classic. That was so well written. I wasn't expecting it. I'm so pleased that my first instance was having you read it. Excellent choice and so well written. Thank you so much, Bob Sharp.
A couple of cracking stories then for this episode from Carolyn and from Bob. Different memories, etc. Well, I've got no memories of anything that's happened in Bob's story, but...
Maybe you need dreams.
Yeah, possibly. But speaking of story writing, Daisy and I are taking the Bear Books podcast out on the road. So we're going to dust ourselves off and we will be at Coppercogs in Long Eaton on the 2nd of April from 7:30. So come along, you can give us a prod just to prove that we are alive and we're not some couple of robots doing a podcast.
Robots aren't this flawed.
Well, no, that's true. Robots are not this flawed. But there you'll have your chance to write your own flash fiction story. If you want to do that, listen to Daisy and I talking a little bit about the podcast and generally just having a fun evening, really. So that's the 2nd of April in Long Eaton.
We're really looking forward to being there and hopefully we'll see you there. Another thing we've got coming up this summer is we are attending the Queer the Shelves Festival, which is being held on the 29th of June at Nottingham Central Libraries. There will be various panels throughout the day with lots of authors for you to get to know. Tickets are on sale now. I will put a link to that in the show notes on this episode. April and I will both be doing on-the-spot interviews with some of the authors that are there for the day. And after the festival itself, we will be putting out a special 6-episode season dedicated to Queer the Shelves. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be an amazing day.
I'm really looking forward to that as well. But going back to the Queer the Shelves, Daisy and I have treated ourselves to some new kit. So we've been splashing out the money and we're now completely broken, just eating beans on toast for the rest of the year. And we have recorded a segment of this podcast with that new kit. So what you need to do now is go back to the beginning and see if you can spot which bit it was.
Well, hopefully nobody will be able to tell the difference. I think the new kit's absolutely fantastic. I am chuffed to little bits for it.
Is that not chuffed to little mint balls or something, isn't it?
To little mint balls. It's all chuffing gravy.
Something like that, yeah.
So the good news is, for all you indie authors out there, submissions are now open for season 8 of the podcast. We're going to be doing a lot of reading this summer. Submissions are open until the end of June. All you need to do is send in the first 3 chapters of your manuscript to bearbookspod1@gmail.com and add to April and I's reading list for the entire summer.
Yeah, I can't wait. We've already had some submissions, an interesting little bunch of books and novels that we've had in. Don't forget, we will be back to review all of this good stuff that we've had sent to us in the autumn. So that's season 8 of Bear Books Podcast. We'll be back in the autumn. Don't forget the in-betweeny bits, though, the bits from Copper Cogs and the special season from Queer the Shelves.
Yes, absolutely. So all that remains to be said now is thank you. Thank you to all the authors that we've interviewed and reviewed for this entire season. It's been amazing to meet so many of you and to get to read your books. Thank you to everyone that has sent in flash fiction. We have howled laughing. We've been distraught. We've had all kinds of emotions going through our little heads reading your flash fiction. And we absolutely love it. We wouldn't want to change a thing. So thank you, everybody. And thank you especially for downloading and listening to the podcast as it comes out every Wednesday. So continue listening to us, share us with your friends, and keep in touch.
And we'll see you with a special episode sometime near the end of April.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us. Now you've had a listen, why not pop over and join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter?
And if you want to send in your flash fiction submissions, you just need to email us at bearbookspod1@gmail.com. And now that you're part of the Bear Books family, why not share us with all the bookworms and creatives in your life?